Good morning. I'm Coach Jake, and today I'm going to start with a question with you guys, and I need some feedback throughout this sermon. So we're going to start with an easy one, though. How many people out there think, like, I don't want to be weak, I want to be strong? How many think, like, I want to be strong, right? We got a lot of folks, right? Okay, a lot of hands. Well, we're going to start off with some questions about kind of physical strength, okay? So this first picture I'm going to show you, what is that? Call it out. Weights, right? Free weights, dumbbells, something like that, right? And next picture, what is that? It's a cat, right? So what's the cat doing? Sleeping, right? Sleeping, resting. Okay, next picture. We're going quick here. Which of these two things makes you strong? Look at you guys. And you're like, you're ahead. We're just going to fly through this sermon, right? So we got some experts in the back corner there, right? Chris and his buddies. So they're right, right? Like the weights by themselves, I actually have a set of dumbbells that looks almost like that I never use, as you could tell. But if today I was like, this week's going to be different, and every single day, all 7 days between now and Sunday, I went down and did as many curls or as many whatever as I could, I'd be weaker. I'd be weaker next Sunday than I am today if I lifted weights every single day between now and then. Now, if I took the cat's approach and just slept a lot between now and, you know, 7 days from now, would I be stronger? No. Strangely enough, I'd actually probably be stronger if I did that than if I did the first scenario of weightlifting every single day. But here's what happens when you weightlift. I mean, I'm not a scientist, but real quick, when you are lifting those weights, your proteins, like your little muscle fibers, literally some of them start to like snap or break or get stressed out, and your body doesn't like that. Your body doesn't like that you get a little weaker, and your body's, like some of us have been, sometimes if you get knocked down a little bit, you try to even stand a little taller than you were before. That's how your body acts towards you. You're like, oh, we're going to try to, it's going to be rough, huh? Well, I'll get back even a little more, right? I'll be ready for the next time this comes. But our bodies can't do things like instantly. So if you lift a lot of weights, 3 hours later, like your body's just tore up. It's not stronger than it was. And even the very next day, it might not be stronger than it was. It needs a lot of time to go in and repair all that little stuff that got broken down and repair it higher than it was before it got broken down. So, as any weightlifter knows, like it's the working out and it's the resting that makes you strong. And you need both of them, right? Now, when we lift our hands and said, hey, I want to be strong, if you wanted to be super physically strong, by the time I got up here, you're probably like, I'm at the wrong place, right? You know, like, I don't know if Jake can take me on that journey. And, you know, there's no gym equipment or anything here in this room. So what we're talking about today, there's a different type of strength. And I think when we raised our hands, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, we want to be able to bench press more. It's a different sort of strength that we're looking for in life, right? We got people that we love that we wish we were stronger so we could help them more, right? We got stuff we do that we're ashamed of, and we do it and we fail over and over because we just seem to show up weak at the moment of testing, right? So that's where I think a lot of our desire for strength is hopefully not to dominate other people or not to not need other people. Hopefully it's coming from this idea of like, I want to be able to help somebody, or I want to not be ashamed of my actions, right? Hopefully it's coming from there. Because if it's coming from there, I think you're going to have some good stuff as we get into this passage of scripture, okay? So we've got all the Christmas stuff out, and next week we're going to take a break from John and spend some time focusing on Christmas for a few weeks. But I couldn't leave John quite yet. We're in chapter 10, and there's a few verses at the end of chapter 10 that they almost feel a little bit like a secret in the Gospel of John. Like, these are verses that people normally don't go to. There's a lot of action. Last week where we left off with Jesus, he was about to get himself killed, right? I mean, people were literally trying to stone him to death. And then chapter 11 has giant miracle stuff happening, right? So it's real easy to miss this point in these few verses, right? So John chapter 10 is where we're going to be at. And this little kind of secret cove in the Gospel of John where Jesus hangs out for a little bit. So if you have a Bible, please turn there. If you don't have a Bible, please make friends with somebody that does. They're probably not far away, right? And so grab a Bible. John chapter 10, it's about this far into your Bible if you're looking for it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you get to Acts, you went too far. Looking at the big 10 and then the number 40, number 40. So again, verse 39, right? What we finished off with last week, people were trying to kill Jesus. He was in Jerusalem, like the center of power, and he was causing a ruckus, right? Then in verse 40, it says, then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. There he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true. And in that place, many believed in Jesus. You can see how with a big miracle about to happen in the next chapter, and Jesus almost got himself killed a few verses before, you can see how like, oh yeah, no, I could just breeze right through that. Like, what did you even read, Jake? You know, like it just kind of just washed over you real quick, right? Let's slow it down a little bit. Jesus goes from the center of this really powerful place, and then he goes back across the Jordan. In case you're not up to date on like your where's where in New Testament times, he goes out to the middle of the country, right? Countryside, right? The other side of the Jordan River, not super easy, not super convenient, not a place of political or economic power, right? He goes to this place that's kind of out there. Why does he go there? Well, it says there's a special thing about this spot. The place where John, this is not talking about like John, the disciple John, it's talking about John the Baptist. This is where John had been baptizing in the early days. So John, as we saw at the beginning, if you're around when we were reading the beginning of John the Baptist is this person who actually got that Jesus was the Messiah, that actually got that Jesus is worthy of praise like nobody else has ever been. You know, he got who Jesus is. And John had this whole purpose in life. He was very clear on his identity that my job is to help get people ready to accept Jesus, right? So Jesus chooses in the midst of all this fury to go off to this place that's special and has this phrase, the early days. I think back to people talk that way about like, oh, remember in the early days when our super successful band was just in my parents' garage or whatever, you know, and things were simple. Or I don't know if that's really like, but remember the early days back before things got so complicated or so busy when things were easy or better or sweet. We normally have a lot of nostalgia, right? We look back with rose-colored glasses, but we also know like sometimes things were really great and they're not around anymore. I mean, like specifically in this is like Jesus had a family member, John and him were actually related, a family member who actually understood him, who's now dead, like who tragically died. I think we probably all have somebody that we're like, man, I wish I could go hang out with that person, but they're not here on earth anymore, right? So there's some of that. There's going back to this place of memory. But I also want you to pay attention to like, it says, Jesus went back across the Jordan to where John had been baptized in the early days. There Jesus stayed. So what does Jesus do? Jesus picks a spot that's special, and then he stays there. That's as much as we're going to see from Jesus in this passage as far as actions. But it's always good to pay close attention. What is Jesus doing? Here's the fruit of what comes from what Jesus does. The people that gather around him, and a lot of people come to him, they say, though John never performed a sign, talking about like John the Baptist didn't heal blind people, didn't do miracles, though John never performed a sign, all that John said about Jesus was true. You see, the setting and the slow pace, it gets everybody to think back to this person that they used to listen to, who really had told them a lot of truth, who actually had set them up to be ready for Jesus. And just them seeing Jesus in that setting and with that pace, it has an impact. What's the impact? In that place, many believed in Jesus. Now, this series that we're in John, we're going super slow through John. But John chapter 20 tells us the purpose of the Gospel of John. It's on our little slide that we always start with, whether you pay attention to that or not. Verse 31 of chapter 20, it says that this was written so that you could believe in Jesus, and by believing, have life in his name. All right, so there it is, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. All through the Gospel of John, belief is the key word. Maybe Jesus is the key word, but key word for us to respond to Jesus. Belief carries with it this idea of trust. It carries with it this idea of living your life off of what you trust, who you trust. So here, Jesus doesn't perform big miracles like he does in a lot of other places. Jesus doesn't start big fights. All Jesus does is go to a special place and linger. And because of everything else that's happened, that's a spot of great fruit for Jesus, where there's a lot of healthy belief that happens. Now, you might be saying, like, okay, well, what does this have to do with anything? Well, we go back to that in our minds, or whether we go up there here, to the weightlifting and the cat. Which one do these three verses sound more like? Okay, I saw some dog lovers be like, I don't want to say this. I don't want to say anything about Jesus and cats connected, right? It is more like the cat. Now, there's a lot of places in the Bible where it's pushing, hey, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, you know, holding promise for this life and the life to come. There's a lot of places where it's like push hard to grow more like Jesus. But for us here today, what is Jesus' message for you today? For many of us, the reason we're not getting stronger is not that we're not pushing it. Is that we don't have a time where we slow it down with Jesus and let him build us up. Let me say that again. We don't have a time where we let Jesus set the pace as slow and we let him build us up. I was talking to a friend this morning, and he normally works on Saturdays. And he said, most weeks I would have been really upset if I didn't get to work on Saturdays. But he works at a place that they didn't have the materials they needed, so they canceled work on Saturday. And he said, but this week someone had been telling me about the Ten Commandments and that God had done this thing called a Sabbath and like a rest. And he's like, so then when that happened, I thought, like, I guess God's just wanting me to rest today. And so he's like, I took a 4-hour nap, and he just chilled out. But then today he had all these things that he felt like Jesus was doing in his life, right? He was seeing Jesus with open eyes. Now, for all of us, I'm not saying like, oh, go do a 4-hour nap and your life will be perfect. I mean, that's probably not a bad thing to attempt. But like, what I'm saying is when I look at us as a church, I see a lot of us, myself included, we're like, we're tired. We're spread. And the most powerful thing that would really build us up with Jesus would be if we slowed it down and we just stayed with Jesus. We just enjoyed Jesus for who he is. Now, how do we actually do it, right? We can't go across the Jordan easily. And even if we did, it wouldn't really bring back to our mind memories of John the Baptist, right? But yeah, we might get back to the slide with the moon and the watering can, but let's jump ahead to this question. So here's what I want us to do in the room today. When I say early days at Maywood, for some people that means like 6 weeks ago, right? I mean, like that's when they started, right? Things were different. That was before they got baptized or something, right? That's true. But for some of you, early days means 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 50 years ago, right? I'm not going to call anybody a grandma up here. That's like, we got to be careful, Hella, like wherever you are. But for some of us, like we've all, or really for all of us, we've been here different lengths of time, right? But even earlier this week, I came across a note in my Bible from when Whispering Danny was preaching here. And I was able to dig up like the sermon that that was from. When I listened, Joshua Patterson was given a testimony, and then Danny preached, and it was like, it was taking me back to all sorts of stuff at Maywood, right? I want you to think right now, and we don't all have to share, but I want you to think, like, in my early days at Maywood, what did I learn about Jesus? Because that's what the people were thinking about. In my early days with John the Baptist, like, what did he tell me about Jesus? I want us to camp out with that for a little bit and learn from each other, because if we can help each other see Jesus, like, then we can believe in Jesus. We can live off of what we see, right? Off of what we experience with Jesus. So when I'm going to go around with the mic, and I've recruited Leslie, hopefully. I'd sit a mic up there with Daniel. There you go. Leslie Ricketts up there with a mic in the balcony, because we never get to the balcony. So I've recruited help to go where I can't go, right? Or can't quickly go. So Leslie's up there with the mic. Raise your hand if you're up there and want to talk, or if you're down here, raise your hand. But here's what I want to hear from you is, roughly, when were your early days? If you're like timid about your age, that's fine. But like, was it 5 years ago? Was it 50 years ago? And then whether it's a story about Sunday school with Joe Beebe, or whether it's a story about Josh Funk or whatever, but tell us something that you learned about Jesus when you were getting started at Maywood. So who wants to go? Mitch has got a hand. I'm coming over to you.
Yeah, when I first came to Maywood, Pastor Bob was a young pastor, and I was welcomed. I was welcomed just like people are welcomed today. I was welcomed. Then little Mrs. Hoover wobbled on her walker all the way over to the other side of the sanctuary to greet me and tell me that she was glad I was here, and that was like 35 years ago.
Awesome, Mitch. Yeah. So that is not the first time I've heard Mitch talk about Mrs. Hoover and the impact that she made by how she greeted him. Yeah, that love and acceptance from Jesus. Yeah, Jennifer.
When I first started coming to Maywood, it was probably about almost 10 years ago, and when I walked in the door, I was broken. I was alone. I had just gotten out of a 30-day rehab. I was staying at Hope House, and Donna Mills meted me at the back door when I first come in, and she's like, "Is this your first time?" I'm like, "Yes." So she brought me in, and I sat down next to her for like the next four Sundays. And now, you know, in that meantime, I learned that Jesus loves me no matter what. You know, I come in broken, and he filled me up. And today I'm still living full with Jesus in my heart. And some days I don't come to church, you know, because I have my grandma's stuff. But when I can, I get here, and it's the best place for me to be. So.
Okay. So we got somebody in the balcony. There we go. Amanda and Leslie, yeah.
I came to Maywood about 8 years ago. It was my first church and stayed my only church since. I found a whole bunch of people that were just like me, and I used to believe that churches were full of hypocrites and people that judge. But here I found nothing but acceptance and love, and I'm extremely grateful for that.
Okay, Alec.
I love Lance and amen!
Amen. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. Here you go.
I started coming to Maywood this year, but actually I had attended Maywood once a year basically for the last 45 years because I came with my sister. But when I came, Connie got me to working with the children. And I kept telling her, nah, I don't want to. I've done my time and everything. However, I've been very blessed by the children of this church and your parents that bring your children.
Hey, oh, yeah.
I just started coming here about 15 months ago, and I was raised Catholic. So this is a different type of experience, but I had come here years ago with my son's dad while he lived in a sober living house, and my daughter was murdered 3 years ago. So I was very depressed. I wasn't very spiritual, though I believed in God, and something just kept telling me to go to church, and the only church that kept coming up was Maywood. And that was just from sporadic visits while he was in the sober living house, but it had a big impact on me because it was very accepting and loving. And from the first sermon where it said, get reborn in water, it just kept getting onto my heart that I needed to be baptized. And I was in May, and I just feel like this church is where I'm supposed to be.
There we go. We'll head up to the balcony for a second.
Yeah, I started coming to Maywood 8 months ago, and it's been such a blessing to me, and I had my faith on such an unhealthy diet, and man, it's gave me an inside condition better than I could have ever asked for. So I planted a beautiful seed, it's got beautiful roots, and I'm going to keep, this is my church now. Love you guys.
Hi, I'm Mary Ann, and I have been in this church for a long, long time. I raised my daughters here, and when I first come, I didn't know anybody, but they were so gracious to me, and they took me in, and a lot of those people are gone now, and now I'm learning to get new friends here, and Jesus is the one who keeps me going. I've had a hard year, but in the end, it's okay because Jesus is in my life. Thank you.
I'm Rose. I've been here for about 65 and a half years. Paul Williams, who was our neighbor at the time, visited with us and invited us to come. And Mr. and Mrs. Hoover were strong in leading us. And we've made a lot of good people, friends, through the years. And I thank you all.
Thank you, Rose. Yeah. Here you go, Ruby.
When I first started coming here, I was taking care of my mother, and I could only come either to Sunday school or to church. It depended on how her morning went. And then finally, I did that for several years, and then she passed away, and I started coming regularly. And I was in the children's department with Joe Beebe and Gail Davidson and the children, and you learn a lot about Jesus with Joe Beebe and Gail Davidson and the children. And I had to give up the children's department when I broke my back. That's been about, that was 3 years ago in May, and I really miss it.
Thank you, Ruby. Yeah. We got Daniel up top, it looks like.
Yeah, I've been coming to Maywood now for about 4 years, I believe. And I've learned most of my lessons in life looking backwards. And about my early days, I can't remember anything from my early days coming to Maywood because I was coming in here high. And I certainly wasn't seeking Jesus. But I've learned that through this church, this is a miracle-working church. And intercessory prayer works. And I just learned today that the reason I'm standing here today was there were a lot of people praying behind the scenes that I didn't even necessarily know about. And they were here in this church. And I praise God for them, and I thank you guys, and keep that prayer line open. Thank you.
Good stuff. So, yep, here you go, Nick.
This is a miracle-working church, man. When I first started coming around here, which was about 5 years ago, I wasn't able to see my children for a bit of a time, and I didn't know how to do it or handle it on my own. I tried real hard, I fought real hard, and I I lost big time that first round, and then I befriended Marcus and Becca really well, and they kind of showed me how surrender was. And, you know, in the early times, I just always felt like God saying to me that the bigger the burden you lay down, the more of Christ's gift that you can receive. And, it is in a surrender that you receive his gift. That's what I learned early on.
Okay, last call, all right? Oh, we got a couple, okay.
So back in 2015 when I first got here, I think the biggest thing that I learned from Jesus, downstairs in the fellowship hall, they have the lessons, and I learned there that Jesus wants to have a relationship with me, a personal relationship. And I know with having that relationship with Jesus, it's a lot easier to have healthy relationships with other people. So,
okay, we got.
My name is Rosario Metzger, and I came here about 8 years ago once, and it was because our church was having a repair or something, and I was invited over here. And I came, my ex-husband wanted me to come here too, and I came here, and I liked it. I said, everybody was like nice at that church. But I had my church, so I continued going to my church, and then something happened over there. I've learned from the Lord, if you don't got something nice to say, don't say nothing. So I'd rather not say why or nothing about the church. But I wanted to say that I came back to this church, and everybody has been very nice, and I've been regularly coming back for a little bit over a year now. And they've been a family to me. Everybody has been very nice to me. And everything that's been happening, God, I see God all the time. And since my son died in August, I have seen God's hand because I didn't want to. I mean, you know, I had my brothers die. I had my father die. My sister die, but never my son, never a sibling, a son of mine. So I haven't been able to shake it off. But everybody here has been very, very nice, and I feel like I'm with family. And I see God's hand all the time. And I just wanted to say to everybody, I'm a pastor. I had my own little church until something else happened there too. But I just wanted to tell you that I know that he's with God. And for anybody that has lost somebody, you know that, but it still hurts because we're selfish and we miss them. And it's an emptiness that only God can fill, and it's going to take time. But it's never going to be the same because they're gone until we see them again. And I just wanted to say that from the time that I've been coming here, all kinds of things have happened. But God, I see God's hand. I mean, I just saw him this weekend. I got blessed by Secret Santa, and we got $220 from them. For Christmas. And I also was blessed. I told Pastor before, I got $1,709 from a complete stranger that I needed for my son and for everything that I was doing for my son. I told him that I was crying, and I was at Home Depot, and I hadn't met this guy. I just saw him for the very first time for less than 3 minutes. And he said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm just I forgot what kind of brush I needed so that it won't show, because I'm making my son a cross because he doesn't have anything on his tombstone. And I said, I can't afford it. And he said, oh, and he looked at me. He looked at his son, and he put his hand in his pocket, and he pulled out a wad of money. He says, now I know why God gave me, told me to bring this today. It was a divine appointment for you. And believe me, I said, no, I can't take your money. He says, it's our savings, and you need to take it, because God told me. I asked him twice, and he said, give it to her. He says, so I want my blessing from God, so you have to take it. So I see God's hand, and I have never been on the other side of receiving. I've always been on the side of giving, and it's very difficult to be on the receiving end. And just one of you guys, one of your members, gave me some money just the other day to help me out, and I just thought, no, no, and then I realized that God told me, you know, it's a blessing, receive it. So I just say that you see his hand trying to tell me it's going to be okay. Because I get so upset, and I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to think about him and be with him in my mind. And I miss him so much. But God's letting me know that he loves me and that it's okay. And I just wanted to tell you, thank you for being kind. Everybody has been so kind. And I think of you as my family.
So, Stanley, we're going to finish it up with you, man. Tell us, what did you learn about Jesus?
I learned this at Maywood. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your addiction. It doesn't matter if you're homeless. Only matters that you're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ and love, and you will find it in this church every time you walk in the door, because that's just the way it is.
Amen. So we're going to get out here in just a minute, but I want to show you guys one more, two more slides really fast. Here's what's going to happen. That slide of the moon and the watering can. Two thoughts for you to take away today is Jesus invites you to slow down a lot. And you might not be like me, but for me, I can check myself and see, have I slowed down with Jesus at all, by asking myself a question of like, Jake, do you know what phase the moon is in right now? Because for me, like whenever I see the moon, it inspires me to kind of like pause and pay attention to what Jesus is doing. And there's sometimes where I have no clue, though, right? It's just been weeks, and I haven't really slowed it down enough to notice. So for me, that's a little check. For you, it might be something else that Jesus invites you to, like, slow down, pay attention to something I've done, pay attention to something I'm doing. That it's worth doing that every single day. Next thing I want to point out that Jesus does here that's spectacular. Jesus knows everything. Jesus can heal anybody. And what does he do in this passage? He waters the work that somebody else has done. Like John the Baptist set the stage for those seeds, like he planted those seeds. And Jesus basically just puts a spotlight on John the Baptist for this crowd. He doesn't teach him anything. He doesn't, that we know of, heal anything. He just says, pay attention to what that other guy did. He waters the seeds that are already there so that they grow up into belief, right? Sometimes we feel all this pressure to fix everybody around us, to carry all of Jesus' load on our own shoulders, and maybe you just need to put a spotlight for someone else on, like, hey, what did your mom tell you about that? Or, hey, tell me about what your sponsor said. Or tell me how you see Jesus in this other person. You just set them up you just water what Jesus has already been doing through somebody else. Jesus literally had all the power and all the answers, and he still chose to do that sometimes. Final thing we're going to leave you with is this last question. This is one for you to take home, talk to somebody else about. If we can flip to it. What truth about Jesus can you share? John the Baptist knew something about Jesus and he shared it. When you go out from here, you can share something about Jesus with somebody else. Okay? Let me pray over you guys. Jesus, I thank you for being alive and present here. There's not a single person in here who's strong like you are strong, Jesus. Our only hope to be strong is to be right there with you. I thank you that we're in this together here as a church. And Jesus, I pray you'd make us strong together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.